I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Hey, welcome to another episode of the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. I'm your host, Rod. Joined today, as always, by my co-host,
Karen.
Well, it is a Tuesday.
Yes, it is.
Yesterday, we had to take off. I had some stuff to do with Keith and the Girl. If you're a Keith and the Girl fan, their latest episode is a good example, a good sample of what I do over there. Oh, and I realized I changed my mic messing with them.
Right.
And the volume feels kind of low.
Okay.
No problem. Trying to figure it out on the fly. Okay, I see it. All right, cool.
That's better. Because for some problem, Keith, I'll be like, you know. I'm like, I don't know how, but we know.
I don't know. It's like I didn't change nothing. But anyway, check that out. If you're listening, go and check out For All Nerds. Karen and I were both on For All Nerds.
Yay!
We did a recap of the last episode of X-Men 97.
It was
so
fun.
Listen to it. Watch it on the YouTube, all that stuff. Go check it out before tomorrow because tomorrow the new episode drops and everything we said will be old, so you got 24 hours to go check it out, you know. Make sure y'all do that.
Mm-hmm.
And Friday, SiriusXM, Karen and I are gonna be hosting the Karen Hunter show. The Karen Hunter show comes on from 3 to 6. Mm-hmm. On Fridays
on SiriusXM.
Make sure y'all check it out. It's on Urban View. So if you're listening to this, you probably already know what channel that is. If you mm-hmm. have SiriusXM, they also have an app, and it's going to be fun. I already got one guest that is confirmed Woo-hoo! To be coming. I don't know if I should spoil it already or not, but I got one guest. Karen, do you want to know now or you want to know later?
Ooh, I want to know now.
Shalay was sharp. So she's coming at 5, hopefully. You know, it's radio, it's live, things happen. But hopefully, if everything goes right, we'll have Shalewa on 5 p.m. For the final hour. So that should be fun.
Yes.
And looking forward to hearing back from some other people and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we've never hosted a live radio show, mm-mm. so it'll be something a little different for us.
Yay, I'm excited.
Me too. Don't forget to leave us 5-star reviews. Don't forget to leave comments, vote in the polls, all the stuff that's in the show notes. And speaking of that, Karen, do you have any banter or today? Do you want to get to the show?
I don't have. I guess you can call it banter. Yes, I got some banter.
All right, Karen has some banter, so we're going to play a beat and then we'll get into our banter.
Psycho.
That's nasty.
Karen, you know what it is. Banter me down.
Yes. A lot of times I think, well, we know this, your phones and everything listen to you and stuff. And I had talked about me getting the bevel for my chin hair and stuff. And all of a sudden I've been getting like all these promotions for like chin hair and tweezers and like to remove all types of facial hair and things like that. And I was like, wow. I was like, y'all listening hard. And I've been looking like, I'm not going to buy it because I already got me a bevel. But I was like, it looks interesting. And everything clear, they can do, you know, everything clear today, the best of the best. And so what I've learned to do over the years, a lot of times I will just YouTube reviews of products to a lot of times. And some of that stuff I find like, oh, that shit is fake, particularly on TikTok and, you know, the reels and shit like that. I will be like, hey, what are people truly saying about this? And they're not like being paid, because some people do it and they just be like, hey, I'm just out here trying to do it. And some of that, particularly when they come to facial stuff, they fucking up their skin and shit. You be like, oh, the fuck is you doing? No thank you. I'll let you be the guinea pig on this shit and, you know, tear your nose up, you know. So it's just been really interesting to see how the algorithm has been just pumping and promoting, you know, a lot of stuff. And we said this before, but I wish, like, after you bought something, there was like a checkbox to be like, I already purchased, you know, advertised me some new shit.
Yeah, y'all can stop. You know, I also get that sometimes for shoes. Like, I'll buy a pair of shoes and then it thinks I'm a shoe collector. And I'm like, no, I just needed some new shoes for running or for walking or, you know, whatever. I need some new basketball shoes. It's like, oh, you want the Jordan 37s? I'm like, no, that's not really what we're supposed to do. So, but yeah, I feel you on that. I don't mind it listening to me because a lot of times it pushes me over the edge, especially if I've been thinking about buying something and then I go, wait. And then it'll send me that like, hey, it's on sale. Or, hey, do you remember when you was looking at this shirt? And I'm like, you right.
And child in Fat Kid Deals, he everywhere. But I don't know if the algorithm with that shit too, because I'll be thinking about something and they'll be like, hey, it's on sale at Amazon. I'm like, shit.
Yeah, I don't think that's the algorithm as much though, because they just tweet stuff.
Okay.
And then so it's kind of like the Twitter algorithm will show you what it wants to show you, but that's not necessarily the same as targeted ads, which clearly,
okay,
you know, you go to, like, if I go to a page or something, I'll see like an ad on that website and I'm like, oh yeah, I did look at that, or something close to that, this is in the same lane as that. It's like, oh, okay, I'm on TMZ, but the ad on the side is like, you want to buy these kitchen mitts? And I'm like, I was looking at kitchen mitts.
They do look interesting. So, I like to be sold shit, so, and it know too. I'll be like, nope.
All right, any more banter?
Mm-mm.
All right, cool. Let's get into the show. Let's get into some news.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right. The latest round salvo in the rap beefs is out there.
Oh, shit. We still beefing?
Yeah.
The beef continues.
The first one is Kanye West did a Like That remix verse. And honestly, it's so whack that I honestly think everyone is just pretending it didn't happen.
I'm saying nobody been talking about that.
It was taken off of YouTube by Sony. And I have some friends, you know, we're in the group chat. And they were like, "Ugh, I hate this. Kanye made it whack. He said that Metro and Future called him and said, we ganging up on Kendrick, we eliminating him. I mean, on Drake, we eliminating Drake, da da da." And it makes Drake sound like he's this all powerful rapper that everyone has to try to like take down together. And I hate this, da da da. And they're my friends, you know. So I didn't want to insult them or nothing. But I'm like, why are y'all believing this? And it can't be because Kanye said it. Like, you can't, like, I think we're way past the, well, if Kanye said it, we're treating it as facts. I haven't been on that for literally years. Like, the dude is not consistent with the truth. I don't know what's up with his reality.
All over the place.
So I don't believe, and until I hear it verified, I don't believe anyone called him. I listened to the clip that they played, which was taken off of YouTube. But even in that clip, it sounded whack. Like, the verse was whack. And I was like, it's no way they would let this be on their album because it's whack. Like, You can't be like, we're all dissing Drake, and then the it's whack. You know, the other thing he did too was it only like one line was about Drake and J. Cole, and it was basically like Drake, J. Cole make people fall asleep, you know, and fuck Drake. And it's like, I don't think you understand what is happening.
You didn't understand the assignment.
Yeah, like I'm like, this is not very good here. Here's some of it.
You know, wait,
I forgot. I can't play it from this browser. You guys won't be able to hear it. So give me a second to pull it up on another browser, and then I'll play it from there. And y'all give me a thumbs up in the chat if you can hear it. I'll let you know when I'm playing it. I'm playing it now, so you should be able to hear it.
You know we had to get the hooligans up here. We're going to take this pussy nigga out. Yo, Dot, I got you.
Now, already the fact that the beat has been manipulated made me go, this isn't, Metro and Future didn't do this.
No, they did not.
Like, he changed the beat, which is a thing that Kanye does. It's not, like, Metro is the person that made the beat. Why are you changing the beat up, you know? So I don't, that was number one, like, I don't know that this is real, you know?
And his voice distortion, like, you know what I mean? It, like, it don't sound like it's blended, if that makes sense. Like, the beat is loud, his voice is low, like.
Yeah, and this is supposedly the CD quality version. So this is what people are saying. Now, the other thing, too, is that I don't see this anywhere on any streaming platform.
Ah, that speaks volumes.
Right, because the original with Kendrick was on an album, and people didn't even know Kendrick was listed on it until it went so viral. But it was, so they were officially putting stuff out. Quavo and Chris Brown and Rick Ross and Drake, they're officially putting stuff on streaming, so you know it's them. And once it goes on there, they're the artist. It's like, that definitely is them.
Right.
Kanye also has a history of lying about not getting permission when people ask for, like, he said, I want to use this sample. You say no, and he just puts it on his album anyway. So he's been doing that for a while too. So I don't buy that this is real. Like, I buy that he wrote it. I just don't buy that he's part of this coalition that, you know, they need to take down Drake. When he was being asked about it in the interview, why he was doing it, he said because something about how he's God and Drake is the devil and all this shit. And I'm like, that just sounds like the ramblings of a madman.
Mm-hmm.
That you're gonna go viral, so of course you're putting this out, but it's very irresponsible.
Treat a bad bitch like she average. I treat a bad bitch like a fat bitch. She'll never let me get money again. On my Cat Williams when they get funny again. Yeah, you see they tried to count me out. I like that.
Like I said, it's not about Drake at all.
It's not even about the beef. We just talk about himself.
Right. I think near the end, there's like a couple lines.
Still feel like Pablo, drug dealer chic. Pluto sent the drones, it hit like Metro Beats. It's a rap for niggas. Where's Lucien? Serve your master, nigga. You caught a little bag for your masters, didn't you? Lifetime deal, I feel bad for niggas. Y'all so out of sight, out of mind. I can't even think of a Drake line. Play J. Cole, get the pussy dry. Play this shit back 130 times.
That's the extent of the part that's about them.
Yeah, I guess he just wanted to participate, because, I mean, you didn't really say anything. You didn't really add anything. And wasn't nobody looking for you. I'm just keeping it real. Wasn't nobody looking for you. Didn't nobody even bring your name up. And you was like, I got something to say. I guess.
I just really appreciate that collectively we as a community decided to ignore that shit. Because, like, I haven't seen anyone really sharing it. Like, oh, but Kanye's in it now. Everybody's like, okay, we don't know what the fuck Yeezy's on. So we just gonna pretend that didn't happen, right? And we're all gonna move on to the actual people that are talking a lot of shit,
right, about each other and to each other.
So last time we caught up on the rap beef,
2024.
Chris Brown had sent a bunch of shots at Quavo, and I it's not about playing favorites for me. That shit.
He had some balls.
That shit was so disrespectful and crucial. I
bodied by R&B nigga.
Right. I had no choice but to be like, Chris Brown is winning right now.
Yes.
Well, Quavo, not to be outdone, he did fire back.
Okay.
Pussy nigga, pull up, crash out about your bae.
Boy, you pussy.
Little bitch, come dance, battle with my Drake. You been fucked your bag up.
Now, when he says dance, battle with my Drake, the Draco is a gun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So. See, I know I ain't the only one.
I'm trying to help.
Thank you.
Been fucked your bag up when you punch Re in the face. Tell my fashion, oh. You spam.
Yeah, he's saying it. He's saying names. He's saying it all out loud.
Okay.
You been fucked your bag up when you punch Re in the face. Tell my fashion week, you sparing who come punch me in my face. It ain't nothing but a fade. You know you lost to Frank. Niggas ran in your house, tied up your aunt cause you ain't pay. This bullet got your name. Don't ever bring up tape, pussy.
So he started off addressing everything. When Chris had that bar about, I saw you at Fashion Week, I should have punched you, but I didn't. He's like, do it, bitch. what is it? It's nothing but getting beat up. Like, if you going to, like, it's just a fight. Like, I ain't afraid to get beat up or whatever. Like, I'm talking about shooting you. So that's whatever. So he said, basically, keep Takeoff Mouth out of your name, you know?
You know, half of y'all niggas some hoes out here. I'm talking about like, these nigga bleed want some money type shit. Bitch. I call your hoe for pussy. I hit your hoe for pussy.
Now I'm assuming the name of this song is Pussy, because he says it a lot.
I'm assuming so. And what about the auntie?
What about the auntie?
He said something about the auntie.
Oh, he says aunt got kidnapped and Chris Brown didn't put up the money or something like that. Forgot about that part. He also said something else. Oh, he said Frank Ocean beat him up. So I guess he's just pointing out all the shit that I didn't know these
Frank
things.
Frank Ocean like, no, why am I in it?
I mean, if he beat him up.
I did the paper, come in to save you, but you gon' own me, pussy. I'm on the edge, don't push me. You broke with the feds, your pussy. Come in to come in, ain't did no time, can't fake it, we know that you're pussy. We know it. Pussy, you. Pussy, you. Pussy, you. Pussy, nigga. Time after time, I pull up and wipe me a little baby nose. Pussy, nigga. Dropping the dime and pillow talking to these bitches and hoes. Pussy, nigga. Good ain't gold. Pussy, nigga. You been exposed. Exposed. Pussy.
Little boy wanna die by some coochie. Bye. You still fucked up by Karuchi. You tried to beat up Tiana, but Usher wouldn't let you do it.
Damn, that's that video from last year where Chris Brown got into it with Usher and Teyana Taylor.
When he was doing his thing in Vegas.
Yeah, and I know, you know, the apologists have some type of reason. I've listened to people try to explain it, but one, why is it always Chris Brown? But then two, the reasoning didn't even make sense. So like, no, everything was cool. And like, I'm tired of y'all trying to make my eyes into liars. Like, I seen what I seen. That shit didn't look cool. They're like, nah, man, right. He was cool. Everyone else was tripping. I'm like, every time?
The cocaine got him, your honor. White bipolar disorder, no wonder. You was the greatest, nigga, you fumble. Going out sad, I'm watching you crumble. Body got Quavo out here going back and forth with a singer that turned to a junkie. Never got light skin versus brown skin, nigga finna divide the country. Nigga, you ain't been in the trenches. We stomp in the yard, you know how that ended. Won't smoke with me, always.
Oh, stomp on the young, you know how that ended. Stomp on the yard, you know how that ended, because Chris Brown dies and stomp on the yard.
Oh, no! Mm-hmm. I ain't seen that in forever.
Mm-hmm. He did some research.
We step in the yard, you know how that ended. Won't smoke with me. Always be me fighting over hoes and bitches.
Always be.
Who gassed you up to put that out? Yeah, that was shitty, nigga. I can take a model bitch and make a sweetie, nigga.
Bitch.
Crackhead Michael Jackson, bitch, you better beat it, nigga. I'm still fucked up about Takeoff. I won't.
Cokehead Michael Jackson, you better beat it, nigga.
That was shitty, nigga. I can take a model bitch and make a sweetie, nigga.
Bitch.
Now that's back to Saweetie that he was dating. Okay.
Crackhead Michael Jackson, bitch, you better beat it, nigga. Sweetie, nigga.
Bitch.
Crackhead Michael Jackson, bitch, you better beat it, nigga. I'm still fucked up about Takeoff. I want who did it, nigga.
Oh. But that's some real street shit. Back to the industry.
For real.
Where your baby mama's at? No, they got plenty to.
Nigga, fuck that. Pussy, every time you see me, keep that energy.
Keep that energy.
Can't believe I gotta beat you by some women, bitch.
I call your hoe for pussy. I hit your hoe for.
And that's basically the rest of it is mostly chorus, I believe.
pussy. I did a favor, come in to save you, but you gon' owe me pussy. I'm on the edge, don't push me. Your bro with the feds, your pussy. Come here to come and ain't did no time, can't fake it, we know that you pussy. Pussy, you, pussy, you, pussy, you, pussy, nigga. Time after time, I pull up and wipe me a little baby nose.
I gotta say, I appreciate that the boys are rapping. I really
let's
do.
Let's get back. Make America rap again.
Like, I really
and
do.
And enunciate they words.
I was just decrying how the dudes seem to have lost the plot with just being able to rap and have bars. You know, hopefully no one gets killed behind it. But them getting in the booth and responding with raps is giving me 90s nostalgia. This is what I grew up on.
Yeah, this is the best way to do it, and just leave it at in the booth.
Yeah, so I guess Quavo finally, you know, did it. Now, I feel like the real person and people being dissed the hardest, women. Because these niggas are fighting over women, but it's all about disrespecting the women. Like, it's like, them bitches don't mean shit to me. I'm gonna beat your ass over this bitch. You, this low down whore. I'm gonna fight you for the honor of myself. But not because I respect the woman you talked about.
You bitch.
Right. Crazy. Is it like that? That part of it is not lost on me. Like I said, I'm not. It's a rap beef battle. Mm-hmm. So it's not like I'm sitting around like, oh my God, misogyny. Who could have known? But it's just more like a damn, man. Like, speaking of, why am I in it? I feel like every woman involved, Rihanna, all of it, it's just like, why am I in it? I've been moved.
Yeah, Rihanna,
shit.
Sweetie,
now why am I in it?
Karrueche Tran, everybody, they like, yeah. Look here now.
Like, I'm just trying to live my life, and y'all just keep dragging me back in this shit.
Did you tell the folks that, you bitch?
Just a lot of that. But Saweetie exposed a DM from Quavo. Quavo said, I can take a model chick and turn and make a sweetie man, as one of the lines. It rubbed it the wrong way, I guess. And she says, damn, we used to mean AF to each other. I guess she meant mean a lot to each other. Hopefully the model he turns into me replies, she said. And the screenshot was of a DM that he had sent her a long time ago, I guess, or maybe not that long ago. But wait, this is just a picture. Hopefully the model he turns into Gina. Quavo, oh, I see. He put, damn, we used to mean AF to each other. That was 21 hours ago. So I guess she's trying to say he sent a DM that that she didn't open, that was from him. Maybe, I don't know what he was trying to say, you know. But I guess she's pointing out, like, if it means what I think it means, which is we used to mean a lot to each other or something, it's her being like, so you're rapping about me not being shit. You can take a woman, you can take a model and turn her into sweetie. You know, I basically ain't nobody. And you can't even believe Chris Brown is trying to come at you over a woman you don't care about. And then you're in my DMs like, hey, girl. Hey, big head.
How you doing?
Yeah. What you up to? So yeah, that's wild. And that's the latest one for that. In other rap related news, is okay. Big news on the timeline today. Megan Thee Stallion is being sued.
Okay.
She's being sued for harassment after allegedly having sex with a woman in front of an employee.
Oh.
Her former cameraman is suing the rap superstar for allegedly creating a hostile work environment, claiming she forced him to witness her having sex and other scandalous claims. Emilio Garcia claims in the complaint filed in Los Angeles Tuesday that Megan, 29, had sexual relationships with an unidentified woman while riding in an SUV during a tour stop in Ibiza, Spain in June 2022. From my understanding, the car was moving and they were in another country, and that's what he's claiming is the reason he didn't just ask to be let out the car or something. The personal videographer, who had worked with the WAP rapper since 2018, allegedly witnessed the incident as he claims he was in the car at the time. Don't ever discuss what you saw, Megan allegedly told Garcia the next day. The cameraman told NBC News of the alleged incident. I felt uncomfortable. I was kind of frozen, and I was shocked at first. At the overall audacity to do this right beside me. Garcia also claims in the complaint that Megan berated him during the same trip to Spain with comments like "fat bitch, spit your food out, and you don't need to be eating." To hear someone who advocates about loving your body tell me these things, I felt degraded, he told NBC News on the remarks of the sap from Megan, basically. Garcia claims Megan then altered his pay from a monthly rate of $4,000 to a pay-per-task system after the trip, resulting in him earning significantly less. He allegedly also noticed a change in how he was treated and saw a decrease in the number of bookings he received. He claims he suffered damages as a result of what he allegedly endured, including substantial losses in earnings, totaling more than six figures in back pay, employment benefits, injury, sickness, emotional distress, medical expenses, and more. He endured a barrage of relentless sexual and fat-shaming comments, plunging him into a profound emotional distress, according to the complaint, saying he now struggles with mounting anxiety, depression, and physical distress stemming from a toxic work environment. Rock Nation terminated him in June of 2023. Per his attorneys, he believes it was direct retaliation for his complaints about the ongoing illegal behavior and failure to pay him properly. Megan just needs to pay our client what he's due, own up to her behavior, and quit this sort of sexual harassment and fat-shaming conduct, attorney Ron Zambrano says in a statement to Page Six. Emilio should never have been put in a position of having to be in a vehicle while she has sex with another woman. The California-based lawyer also represents Lizzo's accusers. He concludes, inappropriate is putting it lightly, exposing this behavior to employees is definitely illegal. Megan's reps did not immediately turn to Page Six for calling it a da. He's also suing Megan Thee Stallion Entertainment Incorporated, Hot Girl Touring, LLC, and Rock Nation for harassment and other alleged labor code violations.
Like with anybody else, we will see. Mm-hmm. This is one of them things you have to take to trial, let everything come out, and then we'll see what's the truth and what's not the truth.
Yeah, I think the thing I was trying to say about Lizzo is popping up in this, and it'll be interesting to see the response to this, because I saw the tepid response to the Lizzo, like, people wanted to go in on Lizzo,
right?
So a lot of people were kind of like, haha, isn't this funny, body positive fat girl, she's actually mean on the low, and people don't really like her, and she's actually against everything she says she believes in, and she's raping people and making them eat bananas out of horses' penises and shit. Just stuff that's not even in the report, but it's just like, ha ha ha, it's just a funny joke to us. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying the whole fucking time, like, yeah, but even if every word of it were true, some of the stuff there's two issues. Some of it is in the person's head and they're not communicating it. Now, I don't know what to tell folks, but these aren't traditional workplaces. Mm-mm. And the idea of saying, like, I felt like I had to go to the strip club is not the same as an employer demanding you go to strip club.
Right.
And someone retaliating against you for you not doing something. It was a lot of like, yeah, I went to the thing that I knew was going to be raunchy, but I only did that because I thought I had to. Did anyone say you had to? No. Were you reprimanded? No. Were you threatened? No. But I felt like I would be threatened. You can't disprove a feeling.
Right.
And you also can't really use it in a court of law with no evidence. It's going to be interesting with her case, because I think a lot of this stuff is going to end up probably being like reduced or thrown out or just not really considered or whatever, or she'll be found not guilty or whatever. But this is the second part of what I'm saying. This non-traditional workplace shit is not the cool moments that it used to be.
Mm-mm, not like it used to be, right?
This used to mean you were down to earth. Prince taking out, you know, the band and all the people and they go do some freaky shit. That used to be cool. Madonna doing that shit. That was like the height of...
Can't do that no more.
What a cool person. Lady Gaga. It was like... It's not just that they're on tour. They're fucking and sucking and fucking getting drunk and high. And they're like, they're having such a great time. It's always like, yeah, except back then, no one would have even considered a person coming out saying,
right.
Well, actually, Madonna had that orgy. I really didn't want to be there. And I mean, I just kind of sat in the corner and drank my drink because I didn't want to get fired because I'm a dancer on the tour. Like, we would have been like, shut the fuck up. It's Madonna. When you got the Madonna job, you knew it was up. I'm not saying that's right.
Right.
I'm saying that's how we would have reacted.
Right.
Now, post Me Too, I feel like we're much more considerate of people's feelings.
Right.
And we're less so inclined to be like, well, that's what Megan does. What the fuck? You know, like what's the problem? You know what I mean? So I think that's part of it. The other thing too is when you blend these fucking workplaces, and I try to be very careful about this, even with our podcast, mm-hmm. even when I work for Game Theory. There's certain shit that is cool with you and your friend, and you and the homie are joking, and it's all right. And if I wrote it down on a sheet of paper and filed a lawsuit, everyone would be mortified.
Right.
For example. You know, because I believe this dude is gay, and so it could be like some ha-ha funny hot girl shit or whatever, and you think you're making jokes like, ah, you fat bitch, ha-ha-ha, you don't need to be eating that, ha-ha-ha, and then you write that shit down, it's like a hostile work environment, because you wouldn't say that if we worked in a cubicle next to each other. We would just kind of know. You don't say shit like that. It wouldn't matter if you thought it was funny or not. Wouldn't matter if you
thought
it was cool.
Because there's rules, there's regulations, you have HR. That shit makes a difference.
Right. There's no HR in this entertainment industry.
Mm-mm.
You know, there's just, I mean, I'm sure companies have it, but we both know that it's such a non-traditional situation. You know, I'm sure when you get hired to be the camera person for Megan Thee Stallion, there's no HR orientation. Rock Nation isn't like, okay, so we got a meeting today. We need everybody to come in and learn about the HR training.
Right.
No.
They go through things. What's harassment? What's not harassment? Right.
Yeah, and keep in mind, in these places, people are doing drugs. People are fucking. People are getting drunk. People are, like, and it's considered part of the lifestyle. People are going to strip clubs.
Right.
It's not, you know, it's just kind of, this is what the fuck we do. We up late after shows and we do wild shit. It's very few of these places that are truly like run in a professional manner, in which I mean like, yeah, so we get to the show, we do the show, everybody goes back to the hotel, goes to sleep, we wake up in the morning and go to the next city. Like, it's just too many people and too much reputation and all this shit. So I want to see how people are going to react now that it's somebody they actually like.
Yeah, and like I said, it's going to be interesting because, you know, with a lot of this stuff, is, you know, you're going to have documentation. You're going to have dates. And like you're going to have like a lot of stuff together other than this is how I felt. And so, like I said, it's one of those things where things come out and then, you know, decisions are made. You know, I don't know if it's going to go to trial. There might be something where they just, you know, settle or whatever the case may be.
Well, so in this case and with the dancers for Lizzo, I personally feel like it was designed to embarrass them into settling.
Yes.
And in both cases, it seems like both of these women said, we'll just go to trial. Because I actually don't think I did anything wrong. I think y'all are overstating harm. I think y'all are making shit up, trying to make me responsible for things that I'm not responsible for. And then you're trying to extort me for money. And so I'm just going to go to court. And I was surprised because both of these people really seem to like get off on the goodwill, you know, like they need goodwill from the listening audience and from just the media and stuff. And so when you fight something like this, it does kind of become public and then it might be bad. You get some ill will. I saw The Root published an article where the headline was something like, is Megan Thee Stallion the female Diddy?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Out for this one allegation, not even anything proven yet. Not multiple people coming forward. Just, is she the female Diddy? Like, this is the environment that these people are dealing with, and you would think that would almost scare you into being like, fuck it, just pay the money. I just don't want to deal with people's turning on me, because people get off on the turn. They get off on the pulling you down after they lifted you up. Mm-hmm. So I thought that was interesting. It's also interesting that it's this lawyer, and it's another black woman celebrity that he's like, oh, I got some shit. She, anyone, you know, it's like, I don't know if he's like ambulance chasing, putting out fillers to a certain type of, you know,
it would not be surprising.
Celebrities, workers,
yeah,
or what?
Yeah, like you associate with certain people, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but I find it interesting. I'll definitely keep my eye on this, but I called this shit when it was Lizzo, and I said it wasn't gonna be just her, because what was happening was too prominent in that industry. Now, it could be time for a universal change of the way people in that industry work.
Yes.
And maybe you need less rock star shit, less raunchy shit. Like, all the stuff that people say they love about the sex positivity and all that stuff, it's not as easy as people think it is. And it doesn't come with an instruction book. And so, while 99% of other cameramen, and maybe even this cameraman, sat there and would have been like, what a cool moment, it only take one person to be like, no, this is actually fucked up. And they're not wrong that it would be fucked up, assuming that it happened the way that they said. You right. know, we'll find out. But,
yes, we will.
But, like, you wouldn't be wrong to be uncomfortable with that. You know, and definitely if you switch the genders and shit, everybody would feel that way. And
right.
and the power dynamic is, I work for you. I'm not actually your friend, no matter how friendly we are. If once this paycheck stops coming, as evidenced by this lawsuit, there's no relationship. So clearly we're blending certain shit in here when it's really a work thing.
Yeah, and like and I do agree. I think that you're going to have, well, we'll see. I know that people watch and look and listen, so it would not be surprising if other celebrities started adjusting accordingly and you started seeing them by themselves more, just them and their bodyguard. Like, nope, when I do shit, I'm not rolling with my crew. When the concert end, y'all have a good one, and then they go off separately, you know, to do other things with other people that are not their employees.
Yeah, like I said, it's very interesting because I think this could be an inflection point for entertainment, especially with so much of the content coming off of these rappers not being rap, right? A lot of the content for Megan Thee Stallion is her Instagram and the videos she puts together and all this stuff. And you know what? That means a person is there filming you all the time. Like, you know, this isn't necessarily like the influencers going and setting up a tripod at the gym and then filming themselves and coming home and editing it. No, she got a team, you know? So you in the back, you know, making out with somebody, and that's going to be content one day. You don't know when you're going to put it out. You never know how it's going to work. And you do got to treat your people good. But at the same time, like, what happens if he fucked up and you have to fire him and he goes, all right, well, now I'm suing you and I'm going to make it seem like you was somehow abusing me, even though I didn't seem to have a problem with it at the time. I don't appreciate you cutting back on my work or whatever. You know, those dancers got cut from the tour and then they sued Lizzo.
Right.
Like, it wasn't like, you know, they were like, man, this shit was so abusive and toxic and fucked up. It was like, oh, now that you're saying I'm not dancing well enough to stay on the tour, fuck you, you know? Which, once again, not saying who's right or wrong as far as, or who's telling the truth or who's not. That's what the court's for. But I think those situations are often blended, and then this kind of thing shows you the other side of it, you know? And I think a lot of people are guilty of it. I don't think it's just a rapper, celebrity thing or whatever. I think power dynamics, even at a normal job, is you can be guilty of this, and it's not really something. Actually, you know what? Guilty is the wrong word. Complicit. Because I don't want to say better. Guilty, because I don't even really mean it, that something happened that was wrong.
Right.
For example, if you have coworkers and they're like, "Let's go out for a drink after work," and you go and you go, "Ah, I'm gonna go home," and they go, "Come on, man, please, man, let's just, you never hang out." And then you go, but then later, let's say you get fired or something happens at the job, and then you sue and you say, "Yeah, they forced me to go out to drink. I'm an alcoholic and I'm not trying to be around da da da. They could, we didn't know. They could say da da. It don't fucking matter. Like, it, that's your version of events, and that's what you're sticking to when you go to court. Now, it may not pan out in court for you, but that's just a regular workplace. You ain't got to worry about Twitter getting involved. No one cares about your Instagram,
right?
All that type of shit. So I've just been very fascinated by how much this is starting, and I feel like this is not the end of it. I don't, because if we're being 100%, this isn't even really egregious violations we're hearing from Lizzo and Megan Thee Stallion. Like we're like, we've heard stories that are worse than this.
Mm-hmm.
We've sexual like abuse on people, touching people, doing things, physically assaulting people, threatening people's lives, you know, that kind of shit. This is not to say, if this is true, not to say it's not fucked up, but like, this isn't even the worst. There's got to be people out there doing way worse than this. And what's the, you know, once the motherfucking waterfall starts, it's going to be interesting to see how it goes.
Dang, that's the truth.
All right, let's go to the next article. Minnesota Senator Nicole Mitchell charged for burglary after being found in home. Minnesota State Senator has been arrested and charged with first-degree burglary. Democratic Senator Nicole Mitchell was arrested after being found inside a home in Detroit Lakes, Minnesota, nearly 4 hours northwest of Woodbury, which she represents. 49 years old, she was booked at the county jail and was being held on burglary charge. Her late father lived on the block. At 4:45 a.m., police responded to a homeowner reporting a burglary. Officers found a woman inside the home who police identified as Mitchell. Tax records show that in 2022, her stepmother and her late father lived on the block where the suspected burglary occurred.
Was she trying to go to their house?
It doesn't say what, like, any motive or anywhere. Just that they're aware of the situation. And that, what could have happened?
I don't know. Was she drunk? Was she high? Did she walk into the wrong home thinking that, you know, that was their house? Because like you said, they on the block. And it's just me guessing. I'm assuming that she was like, oh, yeah, I'm going here, and ended up walking in the wrong home.
Maybe. I mean, because if he lived on the block, maybe that's a confusing situation or something. But, yes. What a weird scenario.
I need more details. A lot of details left out.
Yeah, I guess it's early on that one. Citing safety, USC makes rare cancellation of speech by valedictorian who supported Palestinians. Yeah, this shit has gotten way wilder. Just in a few days since I saved this article.
Okay.
Like, so basically, campuses are having, and I don't know if it's every campus, but definitely some of these Ivy League schools and some of these bigger name schools, they're having issues because, you know, the young kids on campus, many of them are protesting and saying free Palestine and da da da. And it's becoming like a big fight on campus because then you have a lot of Jewish people that are saying this is actually anti-Semitism if you're free Palestine people. Some of the altercations are getting physical. Some people are being threatened. There's videos of that. So then you have people going, this is now, like, you can say that free Palestine is an anti-Semitic, but then in practice, when y'all are beating up people or people are getting physical or whatever, being threatened or intimidated, that's the anti-Semitism. And that's what this movement's really about. Which obviously, to me, I'm like, I think people can say free Palestine and not be hating Jewish people. I think there are Jewish people that say free Palestine.
Yes.
I know Donald Trump says that those people are self-hating and whatever, but if you're trying to pitch me Donald Trump is the champion of Jewish people, I'm gonna go ahead and say I disagree.
100%.
They had a valedictorian who has publicly supported Palestinians, and they said we're gonna have the graduation, but you can't give your commencement speech.
Cause they don't want no ruckus happening and people acting the fool.
Because I guess they assume she's gonna say something about Palestine. Pro-Israel groups, of course, supported that they're not going to let her talk. Free speech advocates and the country's largest Muslim civil rights organization lambasted the decision.
Right, because, you know, it's one of those things where it's like, hey, dog, like, you can't just tell her she can't just give a speech. And they're like, we don't want no problems, basically.
They said they think it'll be a security risk. Now, since then, the fucking people have been just, it's been crazy on campus. Like,
yeah, and everybody's kind of, not that funny, overreacting. And I don't mean, how can I say this? It's like when something happens, they want to squash it because they're like, hey, we're a university. Our thing is to keep the student body safe. We can't have y'all brawling. We can't have y'all fighting. You know, you can march and shit, but we can't have the other things that are going on that, you know, with it. So it's just a day in a hard spot.
It's interesting because I feel like them not allowing her to speak was a self-fulfilling prophecy that now does make it a free-for-all. Like, I think if they just never say that they're gonna tell her not to speak, you just don't even have a controversy. Like,
yeah, that's right.
Like, people might not like what she would have said. People might have got mad at what she said. I'm not saying that wouldn't happen, but it's something like y'all signaled that she wouldn't be speaking, and then it like gives people like they can get riled up and prepared for like, it's going down now. Are we really protesting now? Whereas if you either announce this like the day of, or you just let her speak and don't say shit, either way would be less dangerous and less, you need less security than what you just did.
Right.
They've now canceled all the outside speakers for this year's graduation ceremony. So, I guess the only people gonna be speaking of, I guess, will maybe the dean or something. Like, good. I don't know.
Make it short. We ain't gotta be here 4 hours. Get this shit up with.
Of course, Karen. That's where Karen goes.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Yes. Stifle free speech, guys. We just want short. We just want a short graduation, okay, that we're not attending. The most important thing is not whether or not you want to stop the war. It's just, how long am I gonna be here?
How long am I gonna be here? When can I get my degree, bitch?
It's been interesting to see how it's really falling apart, and they're not the only campus. And I don't know if it's just not happening on other campuses or just these are the campuses that white folks are obsessed with, so this is the ones we're getting reported on. And I'm not saying that leaning either way. Right. I'm literally saying I don't know.
And the media has tended to be drawn to these larger universities. Yes.
Yeah, like I don't, I really don't know. And I know a lot of them have famous donors. And so the donors are being like, I will stop supporting the university. And then that becomes more news. So,
right.
Yeah, I really don't know how like widespread the, not just the dissent, but the quelling of the dissent is, you know. And also Republicans are really seizing on these because they're like, we got a couple of these people out of there with the hearings and the y'all are anti-Semitic and we got y'all to step down, we got people to resign, and they personally hate the idea of colleges because they claim they're such like free speech and liberal institutions. And so I think in a large part, they hype up what's happening to be like,
See,
your campus has, it's got violent anti-Semites and y'all are, and this is what shit, education is.
Shit they don't even believe in. They just like, let's just throw gasoline on this fire and let them quote unquote burn themselves up, basically.
Don't defund the institutions and shit like that. So like, part of this is not even them giving a fuck about the issue. It's just like, oh, it's a chance to get at the people we hate, which is colleges. So
right, when a lot of them got degrees from these places.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot. USC is catching hell for this shit, which, I mean, predictably, I could have told them that. I think that was kind of obvious what was going to happen with that.
Right.
Let's see. California schools are forced to compete with the fast food industry for workers after minimum wage hike. What does it tell you that they raise minimum wage to $20 an hour, and that are like, people might stop teaching at the school and go work at McDonald's. To some of us, it sounds like teachers might be underpaid.
Ain't that the truth?
Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm tripping.
Right, you done worked and got your degree, and, you know, some of them teachers get multiple degrees, and you get, you know, I done got my master's and my doctorates, and y'all want to give me a fucking extra dollar an hour? They paying 20. Bitch, why am I here?
Like, if you're going to deal with McDonald's and everything that comes with McDonald's working there.
Everything that comes with
it. If you're willing to deal with that rather than them kids, there is a lot of questions that I have about what the fuck is it like being a teacher.
Yeah, and the thing is, teaching has changed over the years, and you have a lot of people that teaching is just a job. They didn't get into it for the love of the kids, none of that shit. It's like, it's a paycheck. And you do have people, I got it for love of the kids, but they was like, it's so many rules, so many regulations. There's, I can only stick to this. You can't go off the script. You got to do this. You're just pumping shit into them so they can regurgitate it. Shit like
you know
that.
What? I'm sorry. It's not, I'm thinking about the teachers. It's not just the teachers. It's also the people that make the food in the schools. Because they aren't making $20 an hour. And
yeah, you're going to lose them.
Yeah, for them, I actually could see it. How much worse can McDonald's be than dealing with kids for less than $20 an hour?
My mama used to do that job where you would be like the cafeteria person who like served like the lunch and things like that. And she would say, she dealt with like elementary, like the younger children. And she would say, it will be a mess sometimes. The kids would ask for shit they couldn't eat. They would whine and cry and fall out and shit like that. You know, when you be like, you can't eat this, you can't have this. And then they hold the line up. Like she was saying, it can be something else just dealing with that, just going through that entire process. And for some of them, they go, well, I make food anyway, being underpaid, being treated like shit. I might as well go on over here and make more money.
Yeah, and so some districts have already made changes so they can keep their employees, such as a 10% increase for food service workers and other low-paying jobs, followed by a 6% increase in July of this year that'll bump the wages up to $20 an hour. So, like, some districts are like Sacramento said, let's just nip this in the bud.
Right, cause
I think everyone's gonna have to do this.
Cause they already having shortages, and when people go shortages, people automatically assume that these quote unquote shortages is the bus drivers and the teachers, cause those are kind of the ones they emphasize on the most, and maybe the teachers more than the bus drivers. But there are other places in there too where people, like I said, cafeteria workers, the janitor, the librarian, if your school still has a librarian, shit like that. A lot of these times, these people don't get paid a whole lot of money, and they go, well, if I'm dealing with this, I can go make $20 an hour. What the fuck I'm here for?
Yeah, so interesting. Very interesting to see what's happening with there. Yeah, so it's not the teachers. That's my bad. It's the food people, and I'd imagine janitorial, custodial mm-hmm. staff, all that stuff as well.
All of them fall up underneath that.
Let's see. Playground bullies do prosper and go on to earn more in middle age. Well, that defeats a lifetime of things I've told myself. All this time I've been soothing my ego with, yeah, but I'm gonna be better off than them when I get older. Yeah, you beat me up today, but one day I'm gonna be rich and you gonna be broke. You gonna die in the gutter.
Oh no.
That's what I was, they beat me up. Ain't no oh no, they were beating me up. If you beat me up when I was a kid, I was definitely wishing
all the ill will.
Just cancers and HIV.
I happen to be blessed. Well, I didn't have to deal with that.
Yeah, well, some of us had to fight, you know, to prove ourselves. Not everybody could just be nice.
Right, apparently not.
Not everybody could just spray some Jerry Curl on people and make them run away like a skunk or something.
I've had to get rude and nasty with people, but no, not no bullying.
So it turns out they're actually likely to earn more money in middle age, according to a 5-decade study that upends the maxim that bullies do not prosper.
Why? Could they bully? They bully in the workplace too? Do they bully for more pay?
I don't know. They just going into HR asking for a raise and then giving them a wedgie. They don't get their money. They're also likely to have higher job satisfaction.
Yeah, you would too if everybody's scared of you.
And to be in desirable jobs. Damn, this is terrible news. The paper published today used data about from almost 7,000 people born in 1970 whose lives have been tracked by the British cohort story. Now, these are British bullies, so maybe it's different for them.
Yeah, it might be.
I feel like British bullies are like Harry Potter's parents. Like, they do all right for themselves. You know, the bullies over here is like Nelson from The Simpsons. It's not the same.
Right?
Maybe that's what it is. Like, they don't even, they even be bully. Like,
which McCullough from American Dad, if he beating up on Steve.
They even bully with good manners over there. And I think you're thinking about Stelios Kantos, maybe?
No, the one with the shirt.
Mert?
Yes.
Okay. So, yeah, they said the research team. Now, how do you define the bullies? Like, do people self-identify as like, yeah, I was bullied?
Right. How do you
keep track
them?
Of me for 10 years?
Right, because nobody ever thinks that they the bully.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, you damn right I was beating up nerds. What you want to know? Oh, I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm actually the chief operating officer.
I hope a percentage of them had a change of heart. Damn.
Yeah. What's the little nerds up to? Oh, man, he's in a psychiatric institution? I guess I must have beat him too hard. That's
I'll be more gentle next time.
Anyway, I own a psychiatric institution.
The day in.
And I love my job. Oh, my God. I could talk about it all day. I love helping people.
All day, every day.
I say every day, I want to help as many people as I beat up. And I beat up a lot of people, okay?
Anyway, I've lost count.
I got to hop up in my new luxury car. Beep, beep. The research team examined data from primary school teachers who assessed the children's social and emotional skills when they were 10 years old in 1980 and matched it to their lives at the age of 46 in 2016. So does this mean the teachers saw the nerds getting bullied and didn't do shit but write down, like, nerd, bully. Timmy is a nerd. Nelson is a bully. And I'll send this song to the researchers. And good luck to them in life. We found that those children whose teachers felt had problems with attention, peer relationships, and emotional instability did end up earning less in the future, as we expected. But we were surprised to find a strong link between aggressive behavior at school and higher earnings in later life.
Yeah, because like I said, they probably come in demanding more, getting it, you know, telling people what they is and ain't gonna do.
I think the real lesson here is capitalism rewards this type of behavior.
It does.
You know?
It rewards the asshole.
You want to be good at capitalism? Let me tell you how it was. Tell you how to get a good start. Dick. Beat up some kids when you were a kid, okay? Just pick on the little guy. Because that's all corporations are anyway. It's just, guys, we made some decisions at the top. And the decisions are, you all should make less money. And there should be less of you working here. Anyway, on to my yacht. You know, that's
right.
What's more bullying than that shit? Policymakers should recognize that socio-emotional skills are important, she said. No. We're learning the wrong lessons already.
All right.
Absolutely not. If you listen to the sound of my voice and you got a child, you tell that little motherfucker start beating some people up.
We need to put you in some Taekwondo, baby.
If you want your kid to actually be successful, you give him a baseball bat with some nails in it.
We ain't trying to teach you how to be balanced in life. Yeah. Why?
I don't know what the hell these people talking about.
Mm-mm.
Nah, if you want your kid to make it, show them how to do a purple nurple. Okay, show them how to put somebody in a headlock. They over here trying to solve the. They like, we need to stop the bullying. I'm like, what? Does no one read the article? We need everyone.
Y'all are missing the point of the article.
You need a school with nothing but bullies.
Right?
Just bully school. They're just everybody beating up everybody.
They were like, everybody from this school had a hard time, but you know what? Everybody a CEO, CFO somewhere.
Right. The Royal Rumble.
Yes.
Like, yeah, that might. Yeah, we just had the kids for recess. We just have them, like, beat each other up for,
that's
like,
all.
30 minutes. And, I mean, look, the test scores have been through the roof.
Yes, they have.
All these kids have gotten placed in colleges, top colleges across the country. But, yeah, if you were hoping that you got beat up for a reason, you didn't. So just letting you know.
Sorry to disappoint you.
If you was like me, just on the bottom holding your book bag with your Walkman in it, like, I'm not going to let them steal it. You didn't get your Walkman stole, but you did get beat up. But Torrance is probably somewhere doing great. He's probably
doing great. Doing
Bank of America
wonderful.
Doing amazing. Probably own his own business.
Yes, he does.
He owned me and then he owned his own business.
Right.
He gave me the business, then he became good at business.
Yes, and now he has his own business.
And yeah, and I'm the one
somewhere
doing,
with an LLC somewhere. Yes,
yeah, that, yeah. And let's, you know, let's move to a different section. Let's see, how about we do some effing with black people. All right, fuck with black people. Go around the globe, find different articles that make us feel fuck with them. We assign point scores from 0 to 100, intervals of 25. Today's contestants, everybody. George Floyd scholarship accused of discriminating against non-black students in a federal complaint. The George Floyd Memorial Scholarship offered at North Central University in Minneapolis, Minnesota, is being accused of violating the Civil Rights Act. The Legal Insurrection Foundation founded... Wait. The name is the Legal Insurrection Foundation? That's a bit on the nose, right? Like, y'all love insurrections. They're like, now we doing it legally. The Legal Insurrection Foundation filed the legal complaint Monday with the U.S. Department of Education for Civil Rights. The conservative nonprofit says its mission is devoted to advancing free expression and academic freedom on campuses. The foundation claims that the George Floyd Memorial Scholarship is violating the title, I think it's Title VI or Title IV, I don't know, rule of Civil Rights Act of 1964, which prohibits discrimination on the basis of race, color, and national origin in programs and activities receiving federal financial assistance. To be eligible for the scholarship in question, the applicant must be a student who is black or African American, that is, a person having origins in any of the black racial groups of Africa. Students who do not meet the prerequisite racial category are automatically ineligible for the scholarship, which, of course, civil rights attorney Amir Benno and Cornell University law professor William Jackson said discrimination against white applicants is just as unlawful as discrimination against black or other non-white applicants. Regardless of NCU's reasons for sponsoring and promoting the GFMS scholarship, it is violating Title VI or IV by doing so. North Central University did not respond to this request yet. So, and they're still accepting applications. And a recipient will be selected by June. So, all right, 0 to 100, Karen.
This gets to Jacaris. The biggest reason why is because this organization and other organizations, and this is going to start happening all across the country, anything that actually is targeted towards anybody marginalized, they're going to go at it and they're going to attack it to fucking pieces. That's the whole purpose of this. Because at the end of the day, in my personal opinion, they feel like, you know, nobody other than white people have the right to education. Because they know a lot of these scholarships and shit like this get us in the door. It gives us an opportunity you know, for a better quality of life. You might have debt, but you're going to have a quote unquote better quality of life. They've done studies and it said on the average people who get like education beyond high school, on the average, be it trade or college, earn more money. Like you just earn more money over your lifespan. And at the end of the day, you need a dumb labor market that you can control and is easily manipulated. You need people that you can that basically will do anything and accept any job and accept the low wages and not highly educated. They won't question anything, any policies and procedures and things like that. Like strategically, you know, this is how this is designed to do. And so the thing is, even if you do this, they can still just give it to black and brown people, you know, because the thing is that I think the thing that upsets me about this the most is like y'all are going that shit that y'all wouldn't even put an application in for. Even if it was open, you would fucking bypass it from the beginning. So it's like, oh, you just don't want nobody to get these other than white people.
Yeah, and that goes back to something I've been saying for a while now, but I feel like the only way to do these things in the future is going to be to not write down that it's for black people and then to only give it to black people and just act like we don't know what the hell white people mad about, because it's what they've done and it's worked. It has worked in so many areas where we can't really prove, or it takes years and years of evidence collecting and years of lawsuits and back and forth before we actually get any justice or any recognition. And I feel like that's kind of the playbook to successfully do this, is just be like, it's the George Floyd Memorial Scholarship. Any student can apply. Any student can get it. And just who do we keep picking? Black people. Did anyone say anything about that out loud? Nope. Did anyone write in an email? Absolutely not. It's not on paper anywhere. It's not, you're not going to find a text message. The only time we talk about this is in person, hush, hush, no recordings. Cause we just don't trust nobody. But when we get in that room with a handful of people we trust and we making a decision, we know that it's only going to black people. I feel like that's the only way to make this shit work. But yeah, it's definitely a dracard for me as well.
Yeah, and people need to pay attention, because just like everything else, black people are the canary in the coal mine. They attack us first and then they go after other groups.
They don't do this. Yeah, right. There's Latin scholarships. Yes, there's Asian scholarships. Jewish scholarships. Yes, they're not doing this to nobody but the ones for black people right now.
Right, and they're going to attack all them other shits too.
Yep. All right, let's go to the next one. Billy D. Williams says actors should be allowed to wear blackface. He said, if you're an actor, you should do anything you want to do. He was speaking to Bill Maher on the Club Random podcast.
I didn't even know that man had a podcast.
Yeah, he's 87 years old. He's discussing white actor Laurence Olivier's performance as the titular black character in the 1965 film Othello. Although Olivier wore blackface, Williams said he thought it was a really interesting performance. When he did Othello, I fell out laughing. He stuck his ass out and walked around with his ass, you know, because black people are supposed to have big asses. I thought it was hysterical. I loved it. I love that kind of stuff. Then they give us the origins of blackface and minstrel shows. Maher then said Olivier wouldn't be cast in the role now. Here's the thing. Today, they would never let you do that, he said. Williams said, blackface? Williams insisted, why not? You should do it. If you're an actor, you should do anything you want to do. As an actor, whatever you think you can do, you should be able to do it, he said. Maher then made the point that Williams actually lived in a period where you couldn't do that, where you couldn't play the part you should have played. Williams, who was best known for playing Lando Calrissian in the Star Wars franchise, pushed back. But it didn't matter. Of course it happened, but the fact is, you discuss it. The point is that you don't go through life feeling like I'm a victim. I refuse to go through life saying to the world, I'm pissed off. I'm not going to be pissed off 24 hours a day. In the earlier part of the interview, Williams also mentioned his desire to be recognized as an individual. If I'm going to be creative, let me be creative as an individualist. I don't want to do anything based on this whole idea that you're a black person, you're a white person, and things of that nature. I'm an artist. I'm a creative entity in this life. So yeah, that's what Billy D was saying. What, 0 to 100?
I give I'm going to give this one a 75. I'm bothered by it and bothered a lot. It's wild, though, because this is one of those things where he says this, but I also know that he's not stupid. You know, you said this, but it's not acceptable. Yes, you can do it, but, you know, as an actor, you're going to have to deal with the backlash of people not liking it and people being upset. It, quote unquote, may have been acceptable at one period of time, but it's not acceptable now. And so people have to live in the now when it comes to these type of things.
Yeah, he's acting like a real Sambo Calrissian right now.
Oh, no.
The thing for me is, I mean, the quotes, I was reading an article. It's like these quotes just keep getting worse all the time. It's the thing for me is I do understand what he's trying to say. Mm. And a lot of these actors say that. A lot of older black actors, Morgan Freeman says this stuff too. And it's the double... Is you know, it's the double sidedness of blackness, right? Because I think most of us relate to and understand the idea I'm an individual and I don't like being put into a box and defined and having all my work looked at through just the prism of race and that's it. And,
right.
You know, and so as a black artist, I'm always having to confront this in all my work and I never get to truly just be free.
Right.
Everything needs to be through the lens of race. And I'm tired of it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. And I think most of us can identify with that. I think when you're talking to Bill Maher, who you can't really cut out of this because Bill Maher has a pretty wild history with insensitive racial comments and all kinds of, like, he's kind of quasi-conservative at this point. It comes off as a different type of message, you know?
I can see that, yes.
Like, maybe if he was sitting on a panel and it was him, Billy Dee Williams, and Morgan Freeman, and they were all, like, relaying different ideas about race and artistry, I feel like in that environment, people would be more forgiving, even if he said something similar, which is, you know, this idea of race not being that big a deal and blackface not being that big a deal and all this stuff. And it also sounded like he was amused by it, and I kind of feel like I gotta give him a little credit because I didn't hear it, but it sounded a little bit like that. I mean, if you want to do it, do it. Like, it didn't sound 100% like an endorsement, like, oh, I want you to do it. It sounded, because then he went and said that Laurence Olivier performance, he was making fun of it. He didn't say like it was a good performance. He said it was interesting. And he laughed. He thought it was funny, and he laughed at how he walked around like with his butt. That to me is not a man saying, like, because it's such great artistic integrity. That's
right.
This isn't being like, well, he looked like a fucking fool, but sure, if that's, you have the right to attempt anything when it comes to acting. And when it don't work, oh well, I'm gonna laugh at you. So I'm not 100% sure that 87-year-old Billy Dee Williams, it just lost his whole marbles and right. Was like, I think racism is over or whatever.
That's why I gave it a 75, right?
Yeah, so maybe it's my biasness towards Billy D, but I think I'm going to only give it a 50. My eyebrows raised. If he gets asked follow-up questions and he does elaborate into some things that I'm like, oh, no, then maybe we'll see. But right now I'm going to give it a 50 and just hope that he didn't mean it in a way that is denigrating, you know, like acting like it's not a big deal that people did blackface. Because a little bit of his comments came off like, I don't want to be a victim. And this is always tough for people, especially of a certain age, because they do this thing where, and it's hard to tell, and it's a trust issue. You only know if you really talk to these people. But it's a fine line between I don't want to walk around with my head down being angry because I'm a victim and racism isn't real. You rest of you blacks need to just stop talking and complaining.
Yeah, there is a line.
He didn't say that, so I'm not going to assume he believes that.
Right.
Maybe he'll say that at a different time, but I'm not going to get pre-mad about it.
Mm-mm.
And I do understand how a man of that age who went through what he went through, it was a guy who was like, not me, you know, like I didn't get that Lando Calrissian line role because I was thinking to myself, I want a black role in Star Wars. Right. I just got it because I feel like I'm Billy Dee Williams and I'm like that, you know? So I do kind of understand what he's trying to say, but yeah, I still get a 50. All right, let's get into something else. Let's see. Oh, you know what? We haven't done this in a while.
What's that?
There's some black capitalism.
Shout out to Will Smith. I hear y'all talking. But the only thing I'm listening to is that paper.
Every day we get into that paper. Woo! I hear the money talk, I see you later. Every day we get into that paper. I hear the money talk and see you later.
Don't think I forgot Harry Tubman's supposed to be on the
$20 bill. Man, Felt Five put his foot in that. I hope he I don't know how many listens and views this song gets on Spotify exactly, but just know a lot of them is from me. Okay?
Yes.
It's on my gym playlist, okay? TikToker snags Shake Shack sponsorship after Chick-fil-A bans her from making viral reviews about her employee meals. So she's a Chick-fil-A employee and a TikTok user known as Mary the Siren. She shared that the company's PR team informed her she had to stop posting her popular menu reviews on TikTok, citing company policies. Following the incident, she expressed her interest in collaborating with other brands, and to her surprise, she was contacted shortly after with a new partnership with Shake Shack. Shake Shack's VP of brand marketing, Mike McGarry, recently revealed that their brand marketing team stumbled upon Mary's lunch break clips and instantly loved them. This prompted them to partner with her. McGarry explained that Mary's content perfectly resonates with Shake Shack's commitment to quality food and a strong sense of community, which made the partnership a natural fit.
Oh, that's adorable.
Yeah, it's interesting, too, because a lot of people are like, well, this means Chick-fil-A fumbled the bag, blah, blah, blah. But if she was an actual employee of Chick-fil-A and using her social media, I can see why they would just have a policy against that. Mm-hmm. Because we're always assuming the positive, right?
Right.
She's going to keep making great videos. Everyone's going to love it. That it's going to go viral, da, 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 da. But also, like, that person, you're leaving a lot to the discretion of this content creator. And it only takes one time of messing something up or doing something unpopular or something incongruent with your brand or saying something or whatever. And then all of a sudden it's Chick-fil-A's influencer said blank.
Right.
You know, did such and such. Exposed a different employee or something, you know. I can see why they might be hesitant to, especially someone who just did it, which is a violation. And then it just happened to work. And you're like, we don't want to encourage other employees to violate our policies, hoping that, well, if people like it enough, Chick-fil-A will just go back on the policy.
Right.
Because, especially those of y'all that make social media content, like we do, it's a crapshoot. And so somebody's stuff might go positive and it might work. A lot of times the thing that works best is going negative. You know, so you just, I can see how they might be a little, like, hesitant. That being said, Shake Shack, shout out to them paying attention. Because I think this is, like, a pretty, like, dope built-in, like, opportunity for them. One being that, like, yeah, we're making Chick-fil-A look bad.
Yeah, they are.
Two, like, we don't just look good because understanding the moment. We also look good because we're helping out this black creative, this black influencer. We saw a hole in the market and we went and filled it, you know?
Right.
Yeah,
like I said, I had never really heard of her until she started, you know, trending and people was talking about her and stuff, and I went and followed her and stuff. So, you know, and she talked about on one of the videos how she had like a jump because of this incident, like more people started looking out. And in the video, she basically was saying, hey, she's not mad, she's not upset, like she understands why they have the policy, you know, she's just disappointed, but you know, she gets it, you know, type of thing, you know, because this was something that was already written in there. And she was like, they didn't force me to take none of my videos down, so I can't even really complain. I like, I don't have no beef, it's not an issue or anything like that. But you know, but she is allowed to work with other people outside of her job, working with them.
And it's very smart of her not to, like, I think she also proved her savviness, because where a lot of influencers and people of that type, that ilk, they would have made a video dissing Chick-fil-A just to be like, oh, I can't believe they da-da-da. And that's not the smart move. That's not the long-term savvy move. The savvy move is to be very gracious and, hey, I have no issues with this brand. Because, and this happens a lot with influencers and entrepreneurs on social media, they get so into their own hype that they have these moments where they may even feel justified. We've all seen it. If you're black and you've been on Twitter or whatever long enough, you've seen an influencer have a moment where they threw their brand away. Well, like, they just started, like, replying nastily to people that emailed them to be like, hey, my hair care products never arrived, and it's been 3 months. Well, what the fuck do you think of it? And you're like, whoa.
I seen that, and I made mental check. I was like, I will never work with you.
So I love that she was so savvy that even if she is mad, I'm not saying she is, right, even if she is mad at Chick-fil-A, she was like, no, I understand. It's cool. Everything's boom. And then, boom, Shake Shack, we all the way up. We over here. We enjoying Shake Shack. We influencing, boom, getting that bag. So I love that for her. Shout out to her, Black Capitalism.
Mm-hmm.
We'll do one more. Sha'Carri Richardson, stars in new Nike X, I don't even know how to, Jacquemus? Jacquemus. I don't even, that's so rich, I don't even know how to pronounce it.
Mm-mm.
I know she getting money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It just, I don't know how.
Is it French? I don't know.
It sound French. It right. Sound oui, fancy.
Oui. Yeah, it sound expensive.
Okay. Yeah, apparently it's like a bag, and the bag kind of looks like a Nike check.
Ooh, you got pictures?
Yeah, I got pictures of it. She signed a $20 million 5-year contract with Nike in December of last year.
Chad, that's probably like a $2,000 bag with a check.
This week she was teased as the brand ambassador for Nike and Jacquemus. I don't know how you pronounce it. Collab that releases next week, Wednesday, a black Jacquemus bag I think that's how the French say it. Jacquemus. Was shown being held by someone with a distinctive tattoo on their wrist. And the catching fans asked to guess who they were asked to guess who was in the picture, and of course they realized it's Sha'Carri, because everybody knows the tattoos. Ooh. The company also announced the bag would be released at retail for $525.
I believe that, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're gonna see people stunting on hoes when they be showing up everywhere with them bags with the swoosh.
The bag is so small, I don't even know what all you can fit in there. It's just a flex bag.
Yeah, it is.
Like, we put one tampon,
your telephone,
a lippy.
That's it.
And you starting to run out of space.
And the whole thing full.
Yeah, I hope you ain't got no car, no keys.
Mm-mm. You better just have one key. That's the house key.
Pay for everything with Apple Pay, because your wallet ain't fitting in there.
Mm-mm.
It just is what it is. You have to get over that. All right, but shout out to Black Capitalists. We love to see the blacks doing well. Okay. We're two of them, so we're big fans of that. Let's get into some, you know what? Let's do some guest erase. We'll do white people news tomorrow.
Okay.
It's time to guest erase. It's time to guest erase. It's time to guest erase. It's time to guess the race.
All right, guess the race time. We go around the globe, find different articles, guess the race of the people involved, and Karen and the chat room try to guess, and they are the contestants today. And of course, all of them are pretty much racist. So we'll see how it goes with them.
We will.
Oh, shit. I just realized y'all can't hear the sound. I have to put this in a different browser. All right. Our first article is Cereal Dine and Dash. Cereal Dine and Dash family of eight caught on camera doing runners at more restaurants and are feared to have hit seven restaurants.
Eight?
Yeah.
That's an organized crime syndicate. Eight? Shit, you can't get eight people to agree on shit.
Oh, it's not a news article. It's just video footage of them. Okay, all right. I'll read it. The family of eight were shamed by the Bella Chow Italian in Port Talbot near Swansea this week after they allegedly left without paying the £329 worth of grub.
Yeah, eight people, you're going to be kicking out some cash.
And pounds is the denomination of money, not the weight of the food.
Okay.
And now three other restaurants have gone public with their warning about the family, with police believed to have been alerted by at least seven. The family could face up to 2 years in prison for theft from the series of alleged rogue restaurant eatouts so far over the last 8 months. It is led by a middle-aged couple who even took a toddler in a baby chair on the latest runner. Start them early.
I hope that's one of them industrialized strollers, the ones that's like made like a Humvee. They got the good wheels and shit on it. Cause if y'all running, you don't need no weak shit.
It is let's say the yard in Cowbridge, Riverhouse in Swansea, and La Cassone in Skewen have gone public with appeals for restaurants to beware. Bella Child claims that a woman who was part of a group had tried to pay with a savings account card that got declined twice. They say she said her son would wait outside while she went out to get her other car, but she did not return, and her son did a runner. I guess a runner is when you just run out of the restaurant.
Oh, no.
Manager Tyrone Reese, we're not guessing his race.
Tyrone was mad.
Of the family-run business said they reported it to the police and added they were ordering the most expensive things on the menu, like T-bone steaks and the like. Oh, that's how you know they was running.
Mm-hmm.
The restaurant posted the Dine and Dash video on their social media pages. They went viral and received over 12 million views. After sharing the clip, other restaurants have come forward to say they believe the couple has targeted them.
All right. It was another thing. Like, we tired of y'all. People go, hey, ain't that the family that was here? Mm-hmm. People going to be on the lookout for them now. They ain't going to be able to Dine and Dash no more.
La Cassona said that they got hit with a 300-pound bill that didn't get paid. After the meal, the Mediterranean restaurant said after the meal, four people had already left our restaurant. One lady stayed with a young boy to pay. The woman tried to pay with a card, which was declined. She said she would get another card from the car. We asked the boy to stay and wait for her in the restaurant. She left. And 10 seconds after, the boy started to run to the car. We called the police as soon as it happened. Police responded that this was not an emergency. We could only report them, which we did.
So that's the thing. You got a car that you know not working and that you know gonna get declined, and you want to quote unquote use your baby as collateral, like the child as collateral, and then basically you go crank the car, pull the baby probably watching you pull around, and as soon as you get to the front door, they basically dot out.
Yeah, it's just a game to the kid.
Right.
The yard in Cowbridge says a similar incident happened where it was a 151-pound bill that didn't get paid. We reported
they must be a little cheaper.
They said we reported it to the police. She was pleasant throughout the meal. They asked for steak, too, but we do not do steak, and thank goodness. When it came to pay...
Oh, thank goodness! They was like, look, we don't do pastries, ma'am.
When it came to pay, the family left, save for the woman. She tried using a bank card, which declined twice. Then she said she was going to a cash machine a few doors down and ran away. We've been open since 2017. This is the first and only time that it happened to us. We were just in shock, and we have heard from around seven other restaurants in South Wales of a similar thing happening.
Well, y'all better leave South Wales. Y'all is on the list.
All right. Well, Karen, guess the race of this family.
Oh, white.
Karen's going with white. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. What's the British equivalent to trailer trash? White. Trailer trash. Probably something like mobile rubbish, I would imagine. They probably say something like that. But yeah, white.
A family of eight, and nobody used the word thugs. White.
Not the royals. White. Well, the correct answer is everyone got it right. White. Now, I guess that's the mom there. I feel like because they didn't identify the family by name, that's how another way I knew they was white. And I wonder which kid she leaves there, because that's a picture of the whole family, it seems. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing they don't leave the toddler, because how the fuck they going to get out the restaurant?
Mm-mm. Probably some
maybe this one on the left?
Yeah, the boys or either, you know, I don't know if it's a girl that they... They're actually the quickest. They you know, they're probably out there training. Which one of y'all the fastest?
And I can't really get with, the idea like, oh, well, they were just probably poor because they ordered such luxurious food. They didn't say, man, we just need to get some sustenance. They was up in there like, let me get your porterhouse, player. 12 of them.
Ooh, and that poor restaurant was like, thank God we don't have steak. And I don't look at somebody, we ain't putting it on the menu either. Right. They was like, we were just talking about we need to become classic. Nope, bitch. Mm-mm. Nope. No steaks for nobody then.
Yeah, I just feel like they were like, so how would you like your steak? Bring one of each kind. One medium well, one rare, one well done. One of each kind. Give me one bloody. I don't give a damn. I'm not paying for them. So whatever y'all think you should do is what we're going to do. A woman says that God told her to shoot interstate drivers because of the eclipse.
No, ma'am. Mm-mm. What is happening here?
Well, God, he works in mysterious ways. Mm-mm. A woman in Florida claims she went on a shooting spree after being told to do so by God because of the total solar eclipse. Maybe she watched that episode of Heroes, thought she had some powers. The Florida Highway Patrol announced in a news release that the active shooter situation began Monday, April 8th, as 22-year-old Taylon Nichelle Celestine entered Florida's Interstate 10 driving a purple Challenger. She's a Georgia native. She allegedly began firing multiple shots into another vehicle. Within 5 miles of entering the interstate after telling hotel staff she was going on a shooting spree directed by God in retaliation to the solar eclipse.
Oh, no. Did they call 911 as soon as she got out their sight?
I don't know. She told them. The agent said that bullets struck the passing vehicle multiple times, causing the driver to be hit by glass fragments from the window and grazed on the arm by a bullet. After the driver was able to get away by steering onto the shoulder of the road, she allegedly began shooting at another vehicle, hitting the driver in the neck. According to the Holmes County Sheriff's Office, authorities became aware of the shooting spree after reports of someone shooting into other vehicles. Police department said in a public advisory notice via Facebook that a trooper from the Florida Highway Patrol witnessed her exit this interstate and head toward a rest area. The vehicle then made a U-turn, attempted to get back on the interstate. The trooper initiated a traffic stop, and the suspect vehicle pulled over. After officers arrived at the scene, she was taken into custody without incident. They state that an AR-15 and a 9mm handgun were recovered from her vehicle. She was charged with attempted murder, aggravated battery with a deadly weapon, and improper discharge of a firearm. Currently, there appear to be two victims. One has been cleared and released, the other receiving medical attention. No remaining threat to the community.
That could have been much, much. You literally could have caused an accident. Somebody ran to get shot. Next thing you know, they running into people.
All right, Karen, guess the race of Taylon Nichelle Celestine.
Black.
Karen's going with black. Let's check the chat room, see what they believe. Man, this is... why, of all the things God could say, why is that the thing?
I don't believe it.
Shoot some people for the solar eclipse. Oh, okay, God, no problem. How you could be sure that's not the devil or demons? That don't even really sound like the new God that everybody be talking about. That sound like the old God from the Old Testament.
The old school God.
Yeah, that don't sound like...
That ain't the grace and mercy God.
Yeah.
Demons told me to do it.
Who told you to do it?
The demons.
Let's see. Purple, People Killer Black, CCC, Pre-PhD Black. Unfortunately, oh, no. This some nigga shit black. The new GTA 6 trailer just just leaked black. Got my superpowers on December 21st and they upgraded during the eclipse black. The correct answer is black. Yeah.
Oh, she did that.
Yes, they gotta wear one of them vests too. Like,
yeah, baby, you ain't.
That's
all
the vest they be putting on people that's like,
yeah, baby,
ain't
you,
all there.
Yeah, I about to say, yeah, you ain't all there.
Like when they put that vest on you, that's like the mass shooter vest. Mm-hmm. I don't know why, but that's the one they be putting on them. So she like if Tracy Chapman just had a rough time, you know.
A real rough time, yes.
But all right, that's two. You got two for two.
Yay!
It's time to go to bonus round.
Okay.
Where it's gonna get more racist.
I ain't racist. How can I be racist about anybody or anything in my life? How can I?
Call them niggas. Just call them niggas.
It's time to get
gold teeth, gold chain wearing, fried chicken and biscuit eating monkey, eight baboon, big thigh, fast running, high jumping, spear chucking, 360 degree basketball.
A Vanity Fair writer was tossed from a federal jury in a Brooklyn murder for hire trial because she tweeted about the hot FBI agent on the case.
What?
The juror,
tweeting while you on jury? Are you allowed to use your phone? I ain't think you was.
The juror, Delias, I think this is Kai, is C-A-I is her last name. So I don't know if it's Kai or Sai. Delia Kai professed her feelings in a now deleted pair of posts on Twitter earlier this week. Then she joked about getting spiked from the jury and post on Tuesday. She posted her two offending tweets on Monday, according to court sources. The first was, didn't get to see the eclipse because I'm on a federal jury duty, but I did get to look at a hot FBI agent. Followed up with, we're literally not allowed to talk to each other outside the courtroom. If I say hi, he legally has to ignore me. Don't they know this is how I fall in love?
Yeah, you need to be doing that court case, baby.
In an interview with the Daily News Thursday, she said she was embarrassed by what happened. I've never served jury duty before. I never interacted with the criminal justice system. I think I went in pretty naively. It was not my intention to make light of something as serious as a murder trial. She added that she didn't think at the time that posting generally about her jury duty experience was against the rules. I'm sure if I thought about it for five more minutes, I would have understood that was hugely inappropriate. She added that she has posting disease and tweets about everything in her life. In this case, I made a really bad internet joke and there were consequences. I was so dead in the brain after that whole day. I was just trying to be funny, which is what I do when things happen in my life. Yeah, you know what's wild about that too is, let's say no one caught these tweets and connected it to this case. That feels like the kind of thing you can get something thrown out for.
Right.
Because you can make the argument like, well, this woman was so enamored with the FBI agent that she fucking threw my defendant in jail. She was selected as a juror for the trial of Anthony Abreu, a convicted drug trafficker from Queens, accused of assassinating a man in 2019 at the behest of a Manhattan real estate developer. The feds say Abreu's target was Zen Chris Gu, who was gunned down outside a Queens karaoke bar.
Ooh.
February 12, 2019, at the behest of his former boss, Kunming Allen Yu. Yu, who was convicted of murder last October, was blinded by rage and revenge after Gu, his former protege and project manager, started his own business and took several of his clients. Well, yeah, you got to murder the person. That's the only way to make that right.
Apparently.
Abreu was the man who pulled the trigger. On Thursday, jurors got to hear the testimony of Yu's ne'er-do-well nephew, who admitted to helping his uncle plot the killing and has turned government witness in hopes of a lenient sentence. So, yeah. They said Kai apologized to the judge, said she didn't realize her post, which didn't mention any specifics about the case, violated the court's order. Shortly after, she posted on Twitter. Anyway, so I got kicked out of jury duty for posting about it. Learn from this what you will. Then she followed up. The judge said, girl, go to horny jail. In another post, she wrote, oh, my God. Well, it turns out if you post FBI man hot, you are a bad, horny citizen. She tweeted then in a reply to a follower, I'm ready to serve, just not the way they intended. So she still had jokes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you didn't take any of this seriously. And it's a federal case. And I guarantee you that's something that they said. Don't be posting shit online. Like, I guarantee you,
yeah.
You know, that this was covered.
That sounds like that's what they would tell you.
Right. You know, that sounds like that's what they would tell you. Like, this is some basic ass shit. You just decided to go, quote unquote, against it and thought you were going to be funny and thought you was going to be so obscure enough that you act like, Odds are they ask you a lot of shit up front, and a lot of it probably is all your social media shit if you're going to be a juror, because people put shit online. And yeah, you come and all of a sudden case gets thrown out. People get, you know, like, it could be a huge issue. And, you know, depending on what you do, they can charge you with a crime for breaking the fucking law by posting shit.
She told the news that she took it in stride online and continued to joke about it, but obviously I'm horrified. I'm so sorry. I was just making a joke. That's just like the mode I am in life in general. I'll tweet about getting dumped. I did not understand the stakes. I did not take the gravity of the situation into account. All right, Karen, guess the race of Dalia Kai.
I'm actually going to go like Asian.
All right, let's check the chat room, see what they believe. I didn't know I couldn't do that, white dumbass. All right, it's taking a while for some of these to get in.
Yeah, it's a little
white. A little delay. White. The next two people said white. Lesson after the feds is some white shit. Legally blonde. Sex in the jury, white. Asian says nerdy sensei. So she agrees with you. All right, the correct answer is, everybody said Asian except for Karen and Nerdy Sensei. And everybody except for Karen and Nerdy Sensei, y'all got it wrong. Karen, you got it right. Many of you missed it. That was clutch, Karen. How'd you get that?
Shout out to watching anime.
Oh, snap. Shout out to watching anime.
Because she knew. Yeah, because that sound like an anime character. You know, like that last name. I was like, that sound like that would be something somebody would be called first or last, or somebody got power.
It right.
Yeah.
You got it right. So I don't, you know, I would have missed it. I would have went white. Yeah, you're right. All right, let's get to the last thing. Sword ratchetness. A man rushed to the hospital at the sword murder bed in Dumfries Street.
And that's nice. Why? This is not in the States, is it?
It's not.
Okay.
It's in the UK.
I've never heard of a street named that.
A man has been rushed to the hospital following an attempted murder in Dumfries. Police have launched a probe following an incident on Glebe Street in the town around 4:05 a.m. on Sunday.
Oh, this is around the Harry Potter place. What is happening here?
A 22-year-old man was rushed to Dumfries and Galloway Royal Infirmary for treatment. Medics described his injuries as serious. A 19-year-old man has been arrested and charged in connection with the incident. He's due to appear in Dumfries Sheriff Court on Monday. The record understands that a sword was used during the incident. Police are now appealing to witnesses. Our inquiries are ongoing, and I would urge anyone who may have information to get in touch. We will be keen to speak to anyone who was in the area or who may have dash cam or private CCTV footage around the time. And they said call Crime Stoppers. So there you guys go. Mm-mm-mm. All right, y'all. That's it. Thanks for listening. We appreciate y'all. We'll be back.
We do.
Time to enjoy some NBA playoffs. And yeah, until next time, I love you.
I love you too. Mwah.